Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Monday, March 5th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 268, super special return guest. I think if this podcast had money, it's Randolph Terrence, comedian, podcaster, and father. If this podcast had money, he'd get like the Saturday Night Live equivalent of a jacket. I think they used to do it. What is it? Charles Barkley was on SNL. He hosted this past weekend and he did four. I don't know. I think eight might be the I'm not sure what the magic number is, but he would be in the running for some type of award or some type of trinket to acknowledge the fact that he's been on the show more than once. So I'm going to share that conversation with you in a bit. Just a couple things. March 6th, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday. So if you're listening to this on the 5th, that means on March 6th, tomorrow, I have a show at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey, doing the Big Ten comedy show hosted by Gordon Baker Bone and Ariel the AT, both friends of the podcast. So that's going to be fun. Big show if you live in Pennsylvania, if you live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I'm going to be headlining the Two Laugh Minimum show at Steel Stacks, and the homie Darren Patterson has agreed to open for me, so that's going to be fun. That's going to be a good time. Get to go to Pennsylvania, and I think right now the after party is at Waffle House, so that's how I roll. Okay, and what else? I think that's it for now. Oh, Oscars, kind of. So a sprinkle of black. Shout out to Jordan Peele for winning. Wow, that was amazing. That was awesome. First black person to win best screenplay. Yeah, he won, and it was awesome. I'm glad Get Out won. Speaking of the Oscars, today I did a recap of the Oscars on Aisha Harris's podcast, friend of the show. On her podcast called Represent from Slate. So I did that. That's live as I'm speaking right now, so you can check that out. I had a great time talking to her, and I also did another show of hers. That's not out yet, but I'm sure when that gets posted, I'll share that with you. But I had a great time talking to her and shooting the shit about the Oscars. We had a great time. And so shout out to Aisha Harris and Verilyn Williams for having me. I had a blast. I had a great time. So let's just get to Randolph, you guys. Let's just get to Randolph. This kind of happened like on a whim. Like, we were talking Sunday morning, and we were just kind of shooting the shit. And he's like, "Oh, what are you doing today?" I was like, "Ah, nothing really. Doing, you know, prep. Going to watch the Oscars and whatnot." And we were like, "Let's do a podcast." And so we did it. And we talked about the conversations that Randolph and I have. Usually, they're like a sprawling conversation, and it goes everywhere, and it's in a good way. It's kind of like one of those. It was kind of like one of those Joe Rogan-y podcasts where we talked about a lot of stuff, and we had a great time as always. And I think so when we recorded it, we were talking before the Oscars happened, so we kind of talked about that a little bit. Yeah, and obviously, if you know who I am and you know who Randolph is, you should be listening to the Three Guys on Podcast. You should be subscribing to their Patreon page. You should be subscribing to mine, because I'm getting ready to do some even more cool shit with the podcast. So definitely check out the Patreon page. There's a lot of cool stuff coming, and it's there for you. It's hours of material, hours of podcasting, it's good. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Randolph Terrence. The next time that I go to the movies, I bought some shooters to take to the movies and put it in my drink. I'm gonna try that.
You trying to get that serious about movies now?
No, because I never really thought of it that I had a Aisha Harris from Slate Represent. She told me to. She does that, and I guess you just sneak alcohol in. I never thought of doing that. You know.
Well, I mean, sure, you put it in the inside pocket.
Yeah.
Just put it in. It ain't like it's some new shit to do.
No. I never thought to do it. I'm not really a drinker, so. But it would be fun to get a little buzz going, slip it in your.
Well, the theaters here, they have a bar.
I know, yeah.
Our new theaters have the bars in them. I just, you know, they just want too much money for the liquor, so.
Yeah.
If you just take it with you, it's much better.
Yeah.
But you can get a shooter for like $2.50.
Yeah, I got two, I think I got some Ciroc.
Jesus.
Some nigga shit. I just got me some Ciroc vodka.
You can get your little hypnotic shooter.
I want to try
little Alizé shooter.
Do they have those?
I don't know. I'm probably sure they do.
Make an Incredible Hulk.
Make a little Incredible Hulk.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't think they make Hennessy shooters, now that I'm thinking about it. I've never seen a Hennessy shooter.
Yeah. I'll probably have to, because I never thought of doing it, but I think the next time that I'm near my apartment, I'll do it and sneak one in. I thought I was doing something by sneaking candy in, like some Reese's Easter eggs, and this married couple had, like, Cheesecake Factory. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Like, they bought, like, and it's not, this isn't like a, it's not like, because
I. Sure that went,
go ahead.
You sure that wasn't JL and his lady?
No. I talked about, I don't think JL would do, I think JL is too classy to do.
He loves Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Like, I think he's a real funny comic, but the funniest shit that he ever put up on the internet was him going into the AMC Stubbs line. And, you know, because you get to bypass everybody. You bypass You bypass all the peasants in the general line, and you get to get your concessions. And last night I went to go see Red Sparrow, and there was a shit ton of people in the general section. And all I did was just walk up, and they're like, oh, and then the next premium Stubbs member, please. And there was one woman that looked at me like, oh, how did he do? I don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, how do you not do that now?
Yeah, she didn't look at you like the Black Panther lines over there. She didn't do that.
No, she didn't. It was I was impressed. I was just like, yeah, this is the real shit. So I don't know. Like, I just found out this week that the people that created MoviePass were black.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty dope. Now it's $7.95.
I guess they work for the company. What was the price originally, Ted?
I think it was about 20 or 30 at some point.
It was $7.95 a month. I might have to get it.
Yeah, you have to get. I mean, if you know, if you go by yourself, which I think you do sometimes, and then maybe you take your wife and your
kid. Yeah, I go by myself to movies a lot. Yeah.
But if you go by yourself a lot, it's definitely worth it. I would do it. So, Randolph, listen, buddy.
Yes, bro.
A couple weeks ago, you went on a tear on your podcast, Three Guys on Podcast.
Yeah.
So you were triggered by Dominic Rivera, and it wasn't Dominic. It wasn't him. So you were you primed and ready to go?
No, it's just.
It didn't seem like it doesn't. It didn't seem like it was something that was planned.
Like no, it wasn't.
Yeah, you've been angry before.
Yeah, no, it's never far away.
Yeah, how have you been able? Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Go ahead, man.
I was gonna say, how have you been able to cope? You know, like to really like make people laugh, because your job is to make people laugh.
It's killing my stand-up right now.
How so?
It's just I don't feel funny.
Okay. What is that?
And I just don't feel funny. And I don't feel like I even want to be funny.
Yeah.
You know? So when I'm up there, standing up there talking, you know, if I feel like I'm talking about something, I'm like, fuck these people. I feel like that a lot.
Yeah.
People.
Would it
fuck you? There's a lot of that running through my mind a lot.
What have you been doing to cope?
I don't, you know, work out a lot. Mm-hmm. Write jokes. Vent on Facebook. But anger is never too far away.
But do you think that's with you, or is it just being black?
I think it's a big amalgamation of things now.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the stress of just being black normally, mm-hmm. plus life, plus the unfairness of show business, mm-hmm. plus everything. And then you throw in what this nation has done in the last year on top of that, and it's just all come to a head. At least for me. I can't speak to anybody else. At least for me. It's just come to a head.
Yeah. I feel like...
I think any one of those things, or even a couple of those things in conjunction are okay to deal with, because you're just used to it. You know? But I've just had a tipping point. You know what I mean? This has a tipping point.
Definitely. So, I think there's a lot of anger that I have. I always go to think about this song that Talib Kweli has on the Black Star record called Knowledge of Self. And he says, being a black man is demanding, the fires in my eyes and the flames need fanning. Dude, is something going on in your background?
Why, do you hear something?
I hear something, like it's a TV.
Might be the TV. Do you hear anything now?
Yeah, dude, you're going to want to turn your TV down.
Yeah, it's down.
SMH, bro.
SMH. I was just sitting by it. I walked into the room and sat down. So.
Oh, you're a traveler when you're on the phone.
Nope. Oh, no. Yeah, sometimes. Now I'm just sitting down.
Okay, good. Good deal. Well, yeah, I think being a minority and just being a, because that's the only perspective that I have being a black man. But I think as a minority in this country, or as a halfway decent human being, you have to realize or know that people of color, we do have this funk hanging over us, or this anger, or these cloud that we constantly have to endure just to get through our day. Like it's stuff hanging over us regardless of whatever's going on.
Right. That's why I really related, like in the movie Avengers, when he tells David Banner, get mad, turn to the Hulk. That's what you should understand. I'm always mad. Always mad. I just control it. I'm always mad. You know what I mean? That's being black in this country. It's Baldwin who said that. If you're not black, if you're not mad as a black person in this country, you're not aware. You're not aware of what's going on around you.
Yeah. It's hard. I think it's hard. It just seems like the last 8 to 10 years have been just pretty rough. I mean, even though Obama's I thought he did a great job, but I think that brought those racists out. You know, that brought a lot of it out, too. Like, it was kind of dormant for a while. Like, we knew they hated
us. Right.
But it's just like, in spite of everything, you're just going to turn the clocks back even more.
Right. But we had, you know, we still had Obama. We had Eric Holder. We had protections of the law. You could see positive movements happening.
Right.
You know, every day you could see people gaining rights. You could see things moving forward around you. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was always people saying, well, I don't see nothing, but you know, even in the game that we're in, you could see things moving forward.
Yeah.
And I for people of color, for women, you could see things moving forward. And you could see it by the anger that, you know, white male comics felt. you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's something that's kind of become more and more pervasive as the months, weeks and months go by. And part of me feels like it's almost like just that whole Bill Burr thing of keeping your head down and plowing away, but
it's easy to say that when you're white. That's the thing about Bill Burr. I've kind of gotten listening to the things that Bill Burr has said. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that Bill Burr said, I'm like, yeah, you're still white, dude.
Well, no, of course he is. Of course,
you're still a white guy.
But the thing that I do like about Bill Burr, even in spite of his whiteness, that's something he can't control. Like you and I can, there is an awareness, because I do listen to him, but I'm just talking about like sometimes when you're just like, you try to focus on what you control in your life as a human being. Like, I'm sure you focus on your family and doing the things mm-hmm. that you can to be better. 'Cause a lot of that, I mean, a lot of even what Obama's election, his presidency was sort of like, you know, I made it. I did this thing, but it's all about what you're going to do. It starts in the community, and what can you do to be a better person? And like you and I have talked about this a lot of times, even with issues regarding women and just interactions with women. How it's just like, well, what can I do? Well, the things that are happening in society today, it sucks. But what am I doing to better it? How am I going to be a better person? What am I bringing to the game? And it's something that I think about a lot. Like what I was thinking about, like the fellowship with my peers even more instead of just being.
Yeah,
like,
well, you guys.
Go ahead.
I was very pleased when I saw the picture of you guys out together. I was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, you and a bunch of other comics out together, mm-hmm. just enjoying life.
Yeah.
Eating. I was like, that's great.
Cause because you have to kind of experience life things in order to have something to talk about when you're in.
No, I mean specifically with a group of black men being out.
I agree.
Eating.
I agree.
Because when I first started in the game, we weren't allowed to do stuff like that. I say allowed, but it never would occur to the black comics to get together and just basically try to hold each other up, because man, there were so many black comics who were trying to tell you how to, you know, you got to make these white folks laugh, man. There was so much of that.
Really?
So much of learn how to assimilate, so much of respectability politics. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of it, man. So now to see young black comics just being like, oh, fuck that, I'm going to be black.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
Yeah, it's something that I've been trying to work on a lot, and I talk about like publicly to just be like, I need to be with friends. I need to make more of the effort, because within the last, like, I find myself, you know, you could easily be in the dumps of like, I don't have the certain things that I want in my life. But then I look at like, I was living in Chicago, and I talk about this a lot on the show, where it's just, and I keep mentioning it because I think I need to hear it for myself and other people need to hear it. Where it's like, I left Chicago. I was there for 5 years, and I went there, moved there, not knowing anybody, and building a community of being somebody who was respected for what I could do artistically, and that meant something to me. And I found it tenfold in New York City, which is a larger city, and being around people that like me, that want to have lunch with me. You know what I mean? So, that actually
want to invite you to lunch.
Yeah, and you feel like an asshole if you don't go. And so yeah. it's taking something in me that I need to, like, I know that I need to make that change and make that shift, because it's a part of life. It's that fellowship, man. Like, that's important too, just as much as, you know, taking your craft to the next level and all that stuff. And, you know, the stuff like you and you, Andy, and Tim, like, you know, helping a lot of comics get better and given opportunities. And you have to, even at the level that I'm at, where I try to help as much as I can, say, oh, you talk to this booker, or hey, maybe open for me. You know, I mean, you know, maybe if you open for me, you'll get a good TV writing job.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Good shit happens, you know, when you open for me. Yeah, man. So I think a lot of this is causing me to look at myself and to see what, you know, what I can do. And, you know, there's roadblocks and there's bullshit. It's just like at work and in any job you have, it's just like, oh my God, I got to deal with this shit. And then part of you feels like, is it because I'm black? Not just like you're using it as a crutch, but it's just like, fuck, is this kind of...
No, but it's never far away, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's never far
away. It's never far away. You always have to think that.
Yeah.
And we have to think that. Now, you can do the thing that Respect Philly Politics would tell you to do, Respect Philly Politics Brothers would tell you not to do, and that's, well, just don't think about it. Just don't concern yourself with that. Just...
Yeah.
You know what's happening, so just prove them wrong. I mean, you can do that. But that doesn't massage the feeling of it. It also doesn't change the unfairness of it. That's just, hey, just go along and get along.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't care for that anymore.
Yeah.
Just going along to get along.
Because it's always about, sometimes it's about, as a black person, as a person of color, how much of yourself do you have to hide in order to get along, in order to not make someone afraid? Or
a lot.
Or piss. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. It's shit that I want to say, but I'm like, I probably shouldn't. I'm not
shouldn't
gonna
say that.
Yeah, I'm just
can't
gonna
say that shit.
I get paid in another week. I get paid.
Yeah.
So
can't say this shit.
Yeah.
You hear people saying fucked up shit, and you're like, oh, I should fucking tell them to go fuck themselves. And you're like, oh, I can't say anything, but they feel no compunctions about jumping into your conversation that you're having with somebody else.
Right. Oh, dude.
Or not having conversations out loud with people. Like, you and I are talking about Obama or something, and we got to pitch our voices down low. Mm-hmm. How many times have you done that bullshit move, where you're in a group and you're having a conversation, and you drop your voice down low with your black person you're with?
All the time. You look around before you say something.
Yeah. And you're just having a simple conversation about Barack Obama. Let me just tell you something real quick. I mean, I just feel like, you know, Donald Trump can't do a damn job, and we need Barack Obama back. Why are we whispering?
Dude, it's not even about Obama. It's about everything.
It's about blackness.
Yeah. It happens all the time. And you realize, like, when there's, like, three of you talking at one guy's cubicle, and it's like, oh, shit, somebody's going to walk and see it.
Why are the three of you gathering? Are you talking about do the right thing over there? What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah. So it's so hard being black. I wouldn't have it any other way. It sucks, but
I wouldn't. I don't want to be anything other than what I am.
It's yeah.
You're just tired of the bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. This just in from Reuters, box office, Black Panther tops 500 million, dominates Red Sparrow and Death Wish.
What did White Killer do?
White Twitter? They didn't say anything.
White Killer. White Killer. What did White Killer do? What's that white... called Death Wish?
Oh.
White Killer.
I don't know. Let me see Box Office Mojo. I don't know what it made. I'm going to see
that.
They would
come up with another name for that. Trump Odor.
That was Michael Keaton in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, Trump Odor. Yeah, that's true.
With his black daughter.
Which, by the way, I couldn't watch.
I couldn't
get around the fact that it's the Miles Morales storyline. It just kept bothering me.
Very salient argument. It's a great movie, though.
I'm sure it is. I just couldn't get past that thing. I'm like, this is the whole Miles Morales storyline. Why is he not black?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you put his uncle in. Ugh.
Here's hoping that with the success, because see, the thing is now, like, what y'all gonna do now? So
I heard you and Tim talking about it.
Yeah,
so, Tim Hall. I'm like, yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like they're gonna really, because they're gonna fight to not do anything. You know what I mean?
But it's just the fact, you can't deny that money.
Yeah, no, money talks. Yeah, money talks. Bullshit runs a marathon. But it's just the fact that they use the Miles Morales storyline. He used everything in the Miles Morales storyline except putting a black kid in it.
But I think, because see, movie theaters are saying, we want more diverse films. We want more people coming to see these movies. Like, we want people coming in. And so, I went to see Red Sparrow last night, got out at 9 o'clock. And it was a rack of black people there to see Black Panther again. In IMAX. Yeah, because I know.
Again, dog.
So they're going to do this Miles Morales thing right. You know, it's going to take some. Oh, God.
Well, it's like I told Jimmy Merritt. Look, man, if they do Miles Morales, even if it's just fine, I will be happy with that.
Yeah.
Now, they won't. They'll say, see, they don't want black movies. But they've had subpar white Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't make me say Spider-Man 3. Don't make me say that.
Oh, dude, Tim and I talked about that last week.
They've had those subpar-ass movies.
Yeah.
And they keep making them, you know. That's how I felt about. Remember that movie where the black kid was a magician?
Slight.
Yeah, and I was like, this is the kind of black movie that I actually feel good that was made. This kind of movie right here, because that movie was just okay.
Right.
It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was just okay. And I'm like, we need to be able to make movies that are just okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not having to feel like if we have a movie that's just okay, another movie about black magicians is never gonna get made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to have more movies like Proud. Well, not like Proud Mary, but you know, I'm excited about the Gabrielle Union movie that's coming out.
What movie is that?
Mother's Day. It's like her dad dies. I'll get the title of this movie. Her dad dies, and she's going to clean up the house with her kids, and these people try to, like, rob the house. It's kind of like,
okay.
It's Panic Room, basically, but with...
Panic Room with black people?
With black people.
Okay.
I'll get the title here. Breaking In. Comes out Mother's Day weekend. A woman fights to protect her family during a home invasion. That's it. So I'm excited about that. Like, just it's gonna be a fun movie. Like, we need to have a variety. It can't just be like I said, you know, like a couple years ago when Courtney B. Vance was killing it as Johnny Cochran in The People versus OJ, like that was like fantastic. Like that's some of the best non-slave acting since Morris Chestnut in The Best Man Holiday.
And The Best Man, yeah, that was good.
And it's like that was a good movie. Like, it was just a good, and I remember saying it on stage. I was in, Jimmy Merritt was on that show. And I said, like, and there were like three or four black people in there, and they were bowled over laughing. And they was, I was like, yeah, see, the black people in here know what I'm talking about. Because I just want to, I just wish, you know, like, I just forgot that black people have cell phones. Like, I want to see a movie where black people have cell phones and regular people problems, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I think we're getting there. I think it's slowly happening.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, I hope so. What was the numbers yesterday from the movie?
Okay, so Black Panther made $65.7 million. Red.
That puts him at where total now?
It's $500 million. Red Sparrow $17 million.
They're not in the $700 million range yet.
Well, not yet. It's 500 total gross, 501 million. Now worldwide is a different story.
Yeah, I'm looking to see when they're gonna push a billion.
Probably in another couple weeks. But it took them. This is 3 weeks. It's been opening, so people are gonna go back. It's gonna be around for a while.
Yeah, I gotta go see it again. It'll be my third time.
I don't think I'm seeing it again. I'm just gonna buy the Blu-ray and just wait. You know, because I want the movie experience, the home viewing experience to be a little fun, you know?
Yeah.
But definitely, and then if I have to kill time somewhere, I'll use a movie pass and probably see it.
Yeah, one of my clients is an older, this is how the range of the movies, one of my clients is an older white man,
mm-hmm.
Well into his 50s, and he was like, hey, I just went and saw Black Panther. I was like, you got in? Like, yeah. He was like, the soundtrack was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like, what you know about Kendrick Lamar? He's like, nothing.
I still haven't listened to it. I got to listen to it.
I got it.
Yeah.
I was reviewing that. I was reviewing that that Fonte a little while ago.
Oh, when yeah.
I talked to you. Yeah, so I went through song by song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did it already?
Sure, yeah. Waiting to talk to you.
Oh, you were going to talk to, so you want to talk about that now or what? Let's talk about it.
No, if you wanted to, I was just getting ready, you know.
I was trying to think.
Doing my prep.
Sure. Yeah, I think you should get Movie Pass. And
Can I just
if you're
get
a comic,
it online?
You should get it. Yeah, you order it on, you go to the website. And you order like you.
We'll see. We'll see how much longer I stay a comic. How about that?
Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, you might quit.
I ain't going nowhere. What else am I gonna do?
I know. Like it's like what? Well, what else are you gonna?
What else am I at this point? What else am I qualified to do?
I think your wife would leave you if you quit.
Yeah. Probably not. You say that.
Yeah. She's like, what the fuck? What are you? Oh man, so this isn't the man I married.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. This is. I think this is going to be a fun year. I mean, I'm excited about. I mean, we got A Wrinkle in Time coming next week. That's another.
Yeah, I'm gonna go see that one next.
Got to take your daughter to see that.
I don't know, man. She's scary, dog. Movies scare her. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, is she 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well.
They're reading it. They're reading it right now.
Is it freaking her
one
out?
Of her classes. No, one of her classes are reading it out loud.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know, man. You got to know your kid. Like,
that's
some
true.
People are like, hey, what took his sons to see Black Panther? No problem.
Yeah.
And then I know another woman who's daughters, they play soccer together. Her daughter couldn't take Black Panther. She had to get up and walk out.
How old was the daughter?
10.
Well, it's PG-13. But
yeah. And this is a white lady whose daughter is adopted from Ethiopia. She's like, oh, we got to take you to see some African shit.
And it freaked her out.
Her kid got scared in the movie. It was like, I can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know another, one of my wife's other friends, her daughter, same age, it was actually 1 year younger than mine, couldn't take Wonder Woman.
It's pretty, like, Black Panther's pretty violent. Like, Bomani Jones was talking about that on Twitter. he was low key trolling, but he was still kind of right. You know, you don't, because you kind of think about how violent our culture is, but yeah, the people getting stabbed in the guts, people getting getting shot, and it's pretty
throat slit.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, but you don't really think about it. And at the same time, Bomani Jones doesn't really, he's not a movie watcher. He's not a big TV guy. But this, but because this is a cultural event, you know, I know he's seen it, but you know, my only thing is that, yeah, you have to, like you said, you have to know your kid. Stand By Me was the first R-rated movie I saw, and it was about four boys going to see a dead body.
Yeah, I know. They tell you right up front, we're going to see a dead body.
Yeah, so the only movie that kind of creeped me out when I was that age was Silence of the Lambs, and rightfully so. I didn't consider that it could freak people out. And A Wrinkle in Time is what, like time traveling and stuff?
It's all over the place. Time travel, different dimensions. It's all over the place.
I know Gugu and Bhatha Raw is in it. That's all I need to know.
I know her fine self.
Oh, my God. Now, see, this is another thing. Like, I don't know. Like, Tim and I are in love with her, but I don't know why she's not a bigger star, even though, like, she was great. San Junipero and Black Mirror. I think, and even Anne Hornaday backs me up, a white woman from the Washington Post.
she's one of the few white critics that I fuck with.
She said, because this movie came out November-ish 2014, and I thought it was really good, and she mentioned that Gugu and Bhatha Raw should have been considered for an Oscar. And
for what? San Junipero?
No, for Beyond the Lights.
Okay.
With the movie.
Well, you love that movie, though. So.
Yeah, well, and she co-signed it. Like, she plays this pop. I thought she was fucking great. I mean, now I don't know how much I can, when I go back to it, like, Nate Parker's in it now, so it's like, ooh. But,
you know what movie she was cute in?
Everything.
That movie, Larry Crown.
Yeah.
She's very cute in that.
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
That whole movie is cute with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts.
Where he worked at Walmart and shit.
George Takei. Now, he had like a regular job and he just got laid off.
Yeah, it was like a Walmart type job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those movies.
Then went back to school, downsized his life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I really like her, so I'm glad she's...
That's the first movie I remember seeing her in.
Mm-hmm.
Was that? And I was like, man, she was cute. She was like little girl cute then.
Oh, she's all woman.
Cute.
She's all woman now.
Yeah, she's a grown-ass woman now. Yeah, I know.
She's all woman. She did the Cloverfield, the cancer movie.
The Cloverfield movie was stupid on Netflix.
I thought it was okay.
I mean, it was okay to watch. Let me say it like this. It was okay to watch, but let's be honest, it was stupid. Now, look, we've all watched a lot of stupid movies, okay? Yeah. So I don't know why everybody acts like they've never just sat home and watched a stupid movie all the way through and then watched it again when it came on another time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's not act like we all haven't done that. But it was a stupid movie. Right. But from where I'm sitting, the original Cloverfield was stupid. So
best found for, but it's not the, it was pretty, that started, well, no, Blair Witch did, but.
They're stupid movies. They're stupid movies. Those found footage movies.
Chronicle wasn't stupid though.
No, Chronicle was fine. Yeah. I think by the time Chronicle came around, they had kind of got it down. Okay, this is what we're doing now.
Yeah, that's true. I guess. Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem with stupid movies. You know, I just have a problem when everybody's like, "Oh, I've never liked the stupid movie. I've never watched it." Yeah, you have. You have liked and watched some stupid shit.
You have to, like, I noticed this, like, when I was in grad school, where people, because I was with a bunch of actors, and it's people like, oh, I only blah, blah, blah. I only watch these films in the theater. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I'm going to watch Blue Crush.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm watching Blue Crush. I want to chill.
How much dumb shit I've watched over the years.
You have to be in a certain mood, man. You got to be in a certain mood to watch certain things. Like, I got home last night, and I was like, oh, I want to see what's on Netflix, watch some Netflix. I wanted to watch that Regina King show, 7 Seconds, that just came out.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it's great.
I heard it's great, but I was like, Black Kid's dead within the first 7 minutes. I was like, I'm going to chill on this. I don't know that I want to do this for right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. How about the Fonte album, No News is Good News?
Woo, man. When he... Just dropped it. I really want to talk to him, man. I wish you'd set that up for me to have another conversation with him.
You what?
I had two conversations. I wish you'd set that up for me to have another conversion with him.
I thought you have his number.
I've had two of them. No, I don't have his number. He has my number.
We'll talk about this off mic.
Say it like that. He has my number. I don't have his number.
Oh, okay.
Which is how I would want it, by the way. I don't, you know, you call me. I don't. You know.
We'll talk about that off mic.
Yeah. So when he announced it on Twitter, I was like, what? Fonte's got an album coming out? What?
Yeah. it was pretty surprising because I knew he had worked on it. He was talking about it in December of 2016. And I said, oh, cool. Looking forward to it. And then he announced
it. Well, you know, he hadn't been on Questlove Supreme a lot lately.
Right, because he was probably finishing up. Because I was like, damn.
I was like, is he off? I thought, I said, well, they're not touring. I wonder what he's doing. Why is he not on?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he not on Questlove Supreme?
Yeah, I think he probably just didn't want people to say, when is it coming out? So he probably just finished. I know he was talking about mastering. On his Instagram, he posted like the mastering session or something. So what are your thoughts, bro?
Man, it's a complete album. Well, right off the bat, I'm a fan of Fonte.
Yeah.
All the albums he's been on, the groups he's been in, the guest spots he's done, he's never really missed.
Right.
I can't think of one misstep that he's had. So I was like, okay, well, it's going to at least be fine. you know. At the minimum, it's going to be fine,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then going to listen to it, I was like, "Oh no, this is great!
Yeah,
this is great." It 10 songs. The longest song is like four and a half minutes, a little more than 4.5 minutes, mm-hmm. which I like. I like brevity. It's in and out. It's about a 45-minute album. It's in and out.
Actually, about 33.
Is it about 30? Yeah. Because all the songs aren't 4 minute songs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now you say about this, about 30, 33 minutes. It's in and out. It has a lot to say in those short 33 minutes.
I noticed, like, just now that you were talking about this, I noticed, like, the Little Brother projects. I mean, that was rap music back then anyway. Maybe you have 12, yeah, like 15, 16 records or tracks and whatnot. But when he started doing, after Connected, which was the first foreign exchange project, in 2008, when they did Leave It All Behind, it was pretty concise. It was really tight. And it was really like this just really tight, cohesive project. And ever since then, like that all of those records, all of those albums were just really tight to the point we get in, get out, and I'm hitting you. You're gonna be satiated every time you listen to it. I told him,
right.
I told him like a couple years ago. I said, you know, your album, your catalog is like me when I was in grad school. We used to be off every Friday, so every Friday I would put in a full shift at Best Buy, and it would be from opening till about 3 p.m. And every day, every Friday, I would go to IHOP and get a big steak omelet, fries, and a pink lemonade. And that
now was that before work? Was that before work or after work?
Before work, and it carried me through the day. Like that's what his music is. Just,
fat boy eating.
Well, I was more svelte back then. I was a lot more svelte.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm fat now, and it's like this is weird.
No. We all have. I have a fat boy inside of me, dude.
But my fat boy is on the outside. But I didn't realize that my fat boy. I was always a big dude, but I was a lot hotter in my 20s than I thought I was. I don't know if that's like low self-esteem or some shit, but that's why I'm an artist.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. That's the truth of it.
Yeah. But it's just one of those, it's just like a full entree. You don't have to skip anything in this. You know?
Yeah. I mean, even starting at the beginning, you know, it's also no news is good news. It's basically 10 songs, the first song, To the Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
That's right off the bat where he makes an entrance in that song. He lets you know exactly what it's going to be. He raps and he sings.
Yeah.
In the song. He raps and then he sings his own hook. Mm-hmm. So he's letting you know in the beginning that I'm going to be rapping and I'm going to be singing on this whole album.
Yeah.
So you go right off the bat. And again, that was only about a minute and a half. And it's in and out. One of the lines was, y'all know who the fuck to call.
Mm-hmm.
To the rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah, call Fonte, which I think is even a bigger thing, is you got to call like real MCs.
Yeah.
And real thing. Because there's been like a renaissance of real MCs in like the last year, I think. And I really put that, I said that at the beginning of the, when that election happened, I said, art is about to be lit.
Yeah.
You know? And if you look at all the art that we really like right now, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, the Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, Fonte, Black Thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, art is just more needed,
yeah.
and it's really lit. And art is really lit now.
Yeah.
You know, it's really lit. And everybody is talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like everybody's trying to go deeper all of a sudden. In the last year, everybody's trying to go deeper. Like we saw the Roots.
Yeah.
Andy and I went to go see the Roots. And he opened with that 10-minute freestyle.
Okay.
And that shit, yeah, man. And at one point I was just standing with my head down with my eyes closed.
Yeah,
just listening to the thing. I'm like, everybody's trying to go deeper now. Everybody's trying to go deeper. Everybody's and I think it's a direct result of this election.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. I mean, I always thought like I said on the Patreon episode, it's kind of like we're just watching a great artist evolve, and like Fonte's always been an artist that. Hey, this is what's going on in my life. And I remember just like talking about authenticity and Charity Starts
right.
at Home, people were saying, because those two albums were around the time when he got divorced. And he said, well, I was going through a divorce. It was kind of like his Hear My Dear in certain regards where it was just like,
right.
this is what he's going through. And then the records after that were a little more fun. Like,
right.
And it's just like, that's, I think I learned.
Right. Cause he wasn't doing that. The songs he did with, Foreign Exchange around. And oh no, you know?
Yeah, he was, because they've always been, like, which is why, like, I feel like with the whole, ever since Little Brother, I always appreciated those guys, because when you get to, so I'm 38, and when I started listening to hip-hop, like, all these guys were so much older than me. Like, Q-Tip, like, my top five, like, Fonte is the closest in age, so it's like Black Thought. Mos Def, Common, Q-Tip, and Fonte. Fonte is closer to me in age. These other guys, like when I was a kid, like they were like these godlike MCs. You know, they're just like these fucking amazing MCs. Even though they're people just like us, but it's just like you look at them. And when I saw Little Brother, when I first found out about him, I was 23. They were like 24, 25. And I was like, oh, these guys went to college just like me, but they're just cooler than me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're just, these guys are my age. They're a lot cooler and they can rap. And so it was just like, oh, they're going through, like, they're talking about, like, this, the record on Menstrual Show, All For You, talking about not being connected to their father. Like, just like real fucking shit. And it's like, oh, talking about, oh, I'm going to the club and I'm trying to get at these girls after the club, but none of them want to fuck with me. So I'm going to just go get a milkshake. I'm going to get a milkshake and go home. It, like, this is, that's what it is. And sometimes you get the girl, but here's the time when you don't.
Yeah, you just go home. Yeah. You don't get the girl, so you go home.
Yeah.
I know his second song, on there, So Help Me God.
Yeah.
It sounds just like a song about, I don't like it, I don't like to call it growing up anymore, because people say that. That kind of made me upset when women were saying that about Jay-Z.
Yeah.
That, oh shit, the video's on that Common and the Lost Poets.
Okay. The Corner, your favorite song?
This is hot. Hot time. I'll rock a jumper off. I'll rock a jumper all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's when Common was back. I mean, did you listen to that QLS episode?
No, did he talk about that?
Well, he kind of talked about when when Kanye gave him Get Him High on College Dropout. And that was the precursor.
After he broke it off with Erykah Badu and gave up the knitted koofy.
Yeah, because he was like, I remember specifically, because there was a guy, because I was working at Best Buy then, and there was a coworker that had it. He had the bootleg, and it was he played it before the store opened, and I was like, I had always liked Common. I liked Electric Circus. Yeah. If he would have released that like 2 years ago, people would be like, oh my God. Cause he used to say faggot and all this shit. And he had that record Liberation, how he was talking about, you know, finding yourself and all that shit. But anyway, he played the Get Him High record before the store opened. And I was listening to it. I was like, oh shit, Common is back. This nigga is back. And he's not walking around.
B is the first Common album I owned.
Okay.
The whole album, B, yeah.
Yeah.
It was the first one I won, and I had a couple singles here, a couple singles there, but the first whole album, I was like, oh,
I hope you went back. Like, I think B is up there. B is probably my number two. Like Water for Chocolate is my number one.
That's a good one. Yeah. I had a couple of songs off Like Water for Chocolate. I didn't like the whole album.
Oh man, that was that whole Soulquarians.
I know. I didn't like the whole thing. I liked the whole B album.
Yeah.
Probably because, thinking about it now, is because it was showing growth. Yeah. Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Growth of Common.
Yeah.
With Kanye.
Now talk about. You said So Help Me God.
Yeah, but that's so Help Me God is, I don't like to call it growing up,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like that's insulting. Listen, we're all grown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So saying growing up is stupid. What it is growing aware of more things around you than yourself.
Yeah.
And things. You know, that's what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of became apparent to me when Jay-Z came out with his album. And everybody, all these women were clowning him, or just, not even clowning, just mad, like, oh, now you get to grow up and you want to hold you down. And I'm like, whoa, bitch, shut up. Yeah, it's called growing aware.
The views of Randolph Terrence do not reflect the views of Chris Lambert or the Mundane Festival. We have to get one of those in every
You
time.
Told me to say this. You sent me a text and told me to say this shit. Don't act like you didn't tell me to say this.
I didn't.
Send me that text and say, hey, man, listen, you be sure to talk shit about these women. I'm like, all right, so now I'm doing it.
Oh, my God, I did not. Don't.
I'm just saying, you don't get to tell somebody when they're supposed to grow aware.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Here's what you can do. Just don't fuck with somebody who doesn't have a level of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that.
That's true.
You know?
That's very true.
Just do that.
Yeah.
Or hang in there and help them become self-aware.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, because I did read where a Facebook post that said something like, this was like Fonte's 444. I was like, he's been doing that for most of his career. Like him and other people of his ilk. Like, because this is when I become the asshole hipster music snob when it comes, because this is like, it's like, because you get to the point where you know something, but then you still don't know shit, you know? Know everything, but don't know shit. But with this realm, with a guy like Fonte, a guy like Odyssey, I keep thinking of, like, the Odyssey record, the Never Not Getting Enough, where he's like, I mean, what is there to fear? I'm from Black America. It's just another year. Like, he's talking about, like, he's like, you knew this shit was fun. And I was listening to old sets of mine from a couple years ago, like, this morning, and I was like, this is scary. Like, none of you guys think this is fun? This is scary? I was saying it, and I'm not a political guy. I said that, like...
No, you don't have to. Here's the thing is that me and Russ Green were talking about this with Lafayette the other day.
Okay.
You are a political guy. Okay? Everything is politics.
Yeah.
That's just living. You know what I mean? I think it just becomes easy to... It's just a thing to say. Like, oh, I don't believe in politics. Yeah, you do.
I mean, I believe
you are, particularly if you're black, you're political.
Well, I was listening to the sets and I was thinking, I was just like, I would say something like, you know, it's like Trump just became a gremlin because someone fed him at 11:58. Like we did this collectively.
Yeah.
But you know, the media did it, but they kept saying, and now people are, oh, this isn't funny anymore. I was like, it's never been funny.
It's never been funny. I say that in therapy a lot. I told my therapist, it makes me really upset because I don't understand. I'm not smarter than anybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand. How is it that I saw it and you didn't see it?
Yeah.
You did see it, which is a big part of where this anger comes from.
Yeah.
At people that I used to be close to, people around me.
Yeah,
just society. That's where this anger comes from. Is that particularly people that I held out as intellectuals? I'm like, listen, you're fucking smart. Mm-hmm. That's why I fuck with you. Fuck with you because you're smart, and you don't see this. You know what I mean? I fuck with you because you're smart, and you don't see this. No, you did see this. You just don't give a fuck. You motherfucker.
You motherfucker.
You saw the shit. You just don't give a fuck. Because you got to be too wedded to your fucking principles. You motherfucker. Well, I want to watch the shit burn. Yeah, because the flames aren't going to touch you, you motherfucker.
Are you saying that on the stage?
Yeah.
The flames? Probably, you want to let it burn, but because the flames aren't going to touch you?
Yeah.
That's bars right there, bro.
When people say that, because you hear people say that shit all the time. Susan Sarandon was talking that shit. I just want to watch it burn. Yeah, because the flames ain't going to touch you, bitch. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. In the meantime, people that look like me going to get burnt the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why what we do is important. I think, God, I sound like a fucking asshole. But I think it to try to make sense of it all, to try to do, and as
it's not so much people that do what we do. I mean, although, look at it this way. We work in the arts.
Yeah.
And that's why the arts are important.
Yeah.
You know, the arts are important. They just are. That's why. Mm-hmm. This is why. The arts are important for moments like this.
Mm-hmm. I think when you think about a record like fucking Expensive Jeans into Cry No More, like,
yeah, speaking of that, that's funny you should say that because I've listened to that and you know when he talks about how, because I was like, oh, you think, oh, Expensive Jeans, but then you're like, yeah, man, our jeans cost us.
Mm-hmm.
We eat this bad shit. And then we have to spend money on this medication to keep us alive.
Yeah.
Well, that's a plan of some sort, isn't it?
Yeah.
isn't somebody planning that? Mm-hmm. We're not. You know? Yeah. And then you hit the repass and eat the same shit that killed him. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Talking about your dad, you know?
Right.
Go to your dad, soon your dad dies at fucking 50. You go to the funeral. And then you go back afterwards and you eat the same shit that killed him early.
Yeah. Didn't Chris Rock have a bit about that?
Yeah, I think so. If it wasn't Chris Rock, it was somebody else.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, but that's another thing about as far as growth, as far as, you know, trying to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And in that particular song, Cry No More, is using your father as an example, even when you're not close to him, mm-hmm. that your father is still your example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do bad things to try to eclipse him, but then you also try to do good things to try to, you listen to the things that he had told you, and you didn't listen at the time. And then as you get older, you're like, wait a minute, all this shit now makes sense.
Yeah, I called him the Mark Twain of hip hop.
That's a good one.
Because it's that's like, because he's very, like Mark Twain, and he retweeted it, Fonte retweeted it and said, because I talked about niggas a lot. And I said that too, but the writing is like
that too. Well, also that, but let's not focus on that.
Yeah.
Let's not focus on that.
I think one of my favorite Louis bits that he did on the show was like he talked about Mark Twain. He's like, he's saying,
oh, the Mark Twain bit. Yeah, that's a good bit.
But it's like because it's so grounded. It's like it's not too flowery, but he can be that. He uses big words. Like, the guy went to college and shit, but like he just, it's just, there's so much gravitas to his lyrics and his essence that it's like he doesn't need to, like, the metaphors just hit harder. Like, it just reminds me of this Kendrick Lamar line when he says, some rappers using big words to make their similes curve. My simplest shit be more pivotal. Like, that's who Fonte is in a nutshell, you know? Like, where it's just like, he's so grounded, and it's just, it hits you hard. Like, it hits you like a haymaker every time. And I think that's what makes him an effective wordsmith. And, you know, there's humor involved too. Like what he said, there's a line where he says, keep the hose off the reed? Like, mm-hmm. I forget what he, I don't know. But like, people were putting out the quotables and stuff on Twitter. Yeah, it's just like, it's some real shit that he's like, you're like, fuck, that's me. I need to change as I go to McDonald's. You know, like, it's like everybody.
Well, the, you know, a big one that got me was that Pastor Tigolero.
Yeah.
Pastor Tigolo, excuse
right,
me.
Right,
right. I've been using that song to warm up when I work out.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty apparent to me how big a role the church played in his upbringing.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he puts all the fucking church lingo in it, mm-hmm. prosperity rap shit, Benny Hinn. You got to be deep into the church game to know who Benny Hinn is. You know, but then he just puts all these other things in, like, where he calls out black people who deny their blackness. I was like, yes, nigga, yes.
My dad's Dominican.
Yeah, is he? We got Indian in our family. Do you?
Yeah,
shut
man.
The fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
It's up. Like, this is it's a great album. I still have to, like, it's still, like, because people were texting me on Friday, like, oh, did you, I know how you many, heard DeFonte.
How many hip-hop albums have you heard that have a Flight of the Conchords reference?
I don't know. Like, Tanya Morgan, yeah. Like, Don Will put some in there. But, yeah, like, this is a great
or Ren and 10. Who else was referencing yeah. Ren and 10?
From Brown Shit.
When I heard Ren and 10, when he said Ren and 10, immediately in my head, that fucking track started. The hoe is mine.
Yeah, man. It's really good, man. I'm biased because he's one of my favorites, and he's a friend of both our shows and stuff, but it's just like,
right,
the guy's right. Fucking good. He's really
he's fucking great.
He's
man.
Great. Yeah,
he's fucking yeah. great, man.
So it's
I don't know. I can't. When people say, "What do you think, Andy? What do you think, Andy Klein?" I know he's a friend of yours. So I'm like, look, Andy is great. I don't know what to tell you, dog. He's
you know,
fucking great.
I thought about he ghosted me, but I want to get him back on. I was thinking
we literally just talked about that yesterday.
Yeah. I want to get.
He was like, well, you know what I got to do? I got to do Chris's podcast. We just talked about that.
Oh, good. That's good. Because he reminds me of this guy, one of Fonte's friends, Evidence, a great MC out of California. And they've done a bunch of I actually saw them, Little Brother and Evidence, co-headline with each other in Brooklyn and like way back in 07 when I first moved here. And like, he's very, like his, this album that he has, he's got this album out called Whether or Not. And I gotta give him a call. But it's just like, his whole style is like he's laid back, he's very good, and he's very sure of himself. And so there's no like, there's a little bit of the braggadocio shit that's in, you know, that every rapper has, but it's just very like, this song is about, you know, my mother, or this is how I feel about this. And just listen to him talk. It's like, this guy reminds me of Andy. Like how it just, he's just like on point and just like a really fucking dope MC. And like, it's just like underrated, but just really good. Everywhere he goes, he sells out, but it's just like, he went through a lot of shit. Like, it just made me think like some of the stuff that Andy's gone through, I shouldn't be talking about this with him not on the fucking show, but it's good. It's not a bad thing. We're talking, it's all good things, but it just made me think about Andy where it's like, yeah, that motherfucker is a beast, you know?
Yeah. You know. I tell people that. That's what people say. Well, my friends, you know, I like to put my friends on and so I'm like, well, all my friends are funny. So it's easy for me.
It's easy for me. It's hard. Like somebody was talking
I could have a show with just my friends and it'll be a great show.
Yeah, somebody was talking about that on Facebook the other day. They said, are you friends with people that aren't funny?
No. No. They drain you. There's no reason to not be. They drain you. Yeah. They drain. There's no reason to not be friends with people who are artistically sound. Yeah. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
They drain you. Courtney and I were just having a conversation last night about this.
Uh-huh.
About other people we know who just, they don't measure up artistically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean measure up with us. I mean measure up, period. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I fucking with you? There's no reason for me to fuck with you. You're gonna drain my artisticness away. I got enough problems dealing with myself without having you being a fucking black hole on me.
By the way, look up
this black woman, Zerlina Maxwell. Good Lord.
What is she like?
She's a commentator on MSNBC. She's a writer. I follow her on Twitter now. Okay. I got the TV on, but the sound is off, and she's on talking.
Yeah.
What? Zerlina.
Oh, yeah.
Zerlina.
Okay.
Zerlina Maxwell.
All right. Yeah, like, I don't know, but when you were coming up, did you have that? I mean, but you were already a grown-up, though, when you started.
Hello.
You were my age.
Chris?
What are you doing?
Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up? You can't hear me? Did you put me
Chris?
On? Yeah, I can hear you, Randolph.
Are you back? Okay,
we're back, we're back.
We had slight technical difficulties, people, but I'm making another drink.
Oh, what are you drinking?
Seagram 7 and Coke.
Okay.
Kind of, I'm not actually going with bourbon, like I usually do, but Seagram 7 is a whiskey. I'm still staying in the whiskey family.
Yeah.
For those who want to call me not real.
Oh, well, people won't call you real because you're not drinking.
Because I've read bourbon. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you do.
So, you know, I don't need nobody trying to call out Randolph Terrence.
Oh.
But you was about that bourbon life. I am about that bourbon life. But, you know.
What is
some Chinese food? I'm going to reheat meat later.
So black.
Yeah.
I'm going to make. Well, you know. I think I'm going to make some spaghetti. I got the ingredients today, so I should probably make it. We were talking about, so when you were young, so you were my age when you started. You were 29. I started when I
29
was
29 turning 30. Yeah. Yeah. I was 29 turning 30 when I started.
So did you even filter that out with people that weren't funny even back then?
No, I didn't know about it then. And when I started doing stand up, there wasn't that many people doing it.
Okay.
You know, like in San Antonio, there was like 8 of us doing stand up. You know, there was 8 of us doing stand up and only 2 of us were really funny. Okay. And I wasn't one of the 2.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, that's how it was.
Right.
You know? So everybody was kind of the same. And then I lived in San Antonio. Well, I was living in San Antonio. That was where I grew up. But I did stand up in San Antonio for 4 years. And then I moved to Austin to further my stand up.
Sure.
You know, because it was a bigger scene.
Yeah.
And, I quit my job, cashed out my retirement, and just moved up there. Got another job. My wife at the time was my girlfriend, and just plugged into the scene there. And okay, so there I was. I don't even know if I was doing it consciously, but there I was surrounded by people who were great in stand-up at the time, but all white. There was very few black people doing stand-up. Where I was, and there was a scene, because I did a lot of not to say that there was this underground black comedy scene. Oh no, there wasn't. You know what I mean? And I did as much of the black scene, because I did the Latino scene, I did the black scene, and I did the white scene.
Yeah,
you know, but the comics that I was around, it was like Matt Bearden, Matt Sadler, you know, Justin Sanders. This is an awesome. Chris Allen, they were funny.
Yeah.
You know, so even unconsciously, but I think that comes from martial arts, because I already knew that from martial arts. Like, look, if you want to get better, you better hang around people who are good.
Yeah.
You know, don't hang around people who ain't good, because they'll just drag you down.
That's true.
Get bad habits. You'll get bad habits from them. So I hung around people who were good.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened. I think it just kind of happened organically for me, I guess. I don't know. Like, I was just around. I mean, I started with, I would just see all these people, because I was kind of an outsider. So I wasn't really hanging that much after shows. I would just be doing the shows and hanging out with people a little after, and then going home and taking my ass to work the next day, you know. But I don't know. I was just around cool people.
Yeah. And then when I moved from there to here, that's when I met Andy. And again, I was just, at that point, I'd been doing stand-up for about 9 years. So
okay.
I knew what funny looked like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at that point, there was no fooling me. And now I'm like, oh, well, that guy's funny. That guy's not. That guy's funny. Let me talk to the fucking funny people, because they'll know what's what.
Yeah.
You know? At least in this area, don't know who to hook me up with, who to talk to, who to hang with.
Right, right. Yeah, I think,
you know,
that's true.
I got to fuck with the funny people.
Yeah, I think it just kind of organically happens, and then you find like people asking you, "What do you think of this bit?" And like, "Oh, well, that's pretty neat."
Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of started for me in Austin. I remember a guy wanted me to write with him,
okay.
And I had never heard. And somebody was like, "You want me to write with you?"
Did he try to touch
you?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Hey, try.
Randolph Terrence's Me Too story on the Mundane Festival.
If you have a doll, I can show you where he actually did.
No, that's cool though. Like, I noticed that sometimes people ask me about stuff, and that's yeah. Neat. I mean,
and it was funny, because that was when I was listening to Tom Petty in an interview one time, because Tom Petty had written a lot of songs for different people, and he said he would try to craft a song for the person. Mm-hmm. And every time he would do that, the person, like, he's written a lot of songs, but you don't know who Tom Petty is.
I know who he is.
You know Tom Petty's song?
I know who he is. I know he's a famous.
Okay.
Did he die?
Yeah, yes.
Recently.
He did die. Yes.
In the Heartbreakers?
Thumbin' and Heartbreakers, yep.
Yeah, I couldn't quote you any of his songs, but I know he's a big deal.
Oh, my God. Into the Great Wide Open.
Did I tell you I went to... Oh, go continue your story.
Well, he was writing... He would write songs for me. He wrote a great song for Stevie Nicks. Do you know who she is? Black Man.
Yes.
Okay. He's written a couple of really great songs for her. Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Mm-hmm.
And he would write songs for her and take her the song, and she's like, this is not what I want. So he would go and he would come back and try to write another song. She's like, this is not what I want. And then he realized is what this person wants is they want me to write a song that I would sing and they will sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't craft the song for them. Just write the song for you and give it to them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how so when somebody asks you, now I think it's kind of a twofold. Like if you have a writing job on a show, your job is to try to write for the show. But even then I wonder is you hired me for me.
Right.
So I'm gonna write you what I do and you just do this. Do this shit. Do it the way I say to do it, and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You write in their voice. You learn. I guess it's a learning curve. Right. You write to fit.
Yeah, but it's like a thing. It's like I'm not trying to write for you as much as the reason why somebody would come. A guy comes to me and write and tell me because you like what I do, and you want to try to do some of that.
Yeah.
So I'll write this joke and then we'll try to figure out a way to bend it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'll write this. And then you take it. It's like a singer. Like, you're a singer. You know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else, you may not write the song. Somebody else writes the song, and then you take that song and you bend it to your voice.
Right. You have to portray.
You know, it's the same thing with, right. What I write in the song, you may not even feel what I was feeling when I wrote it. But now you sing it, and then you just bend it to you, you know?
Yeah, it's like you're inhabiting that. It's like a character. Like I
right, so
like,
the same thing with a joke. I Randolph write a joke for Chris Lambert, that you take the joke and you bend it to your voice on stage, because your voice is not like my voice. You're not angry.
Well, I think that I am, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's maybe a way that it's harnessed. Maybe I think there is anger, but I don't pretend like I don't have it. I don't know what you guys like. Yesterday I was at Shake Shack, and there was this girl, this teenage girl. There was two of them, young girls, and I was waiting to get condiments. I wanted to get napkins and some ketchup, and they were just taking their sweet ass time. They were taking their sweet ass fucking time. Like nobody
else mattered. I've been there.
I was
so
mad.
Do you not know that murder
mad.
Is right behind you, bitch?
Yeah, I was so mad. I was like, come on, Chris. God damn it. What's wrong with you? But it is kind of them, but then it's me too. But it's just like, can't you fucking consider somebody else might be trying to get ketchup?
Yeah.
And her friend was standing there, like, in the way. She was just this in-the-way person where she could have just sat down and said, oh, you get this stuff and I'll be over here. But it was just like, Jesus Christ, do you not... I don't know, like little shit like that makes me, because you know what it is, as a big black person, one, as a big person, and two, as a black person, I'm constantly aware of space and the way that I fit into people's space, into space, where it's just like, oh, I'm trying to be out of the way. I don't want to be in somebody's way when they're trying to get somewhere. I try to be considerate of other people, but some people just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is the thing you got to remember, though. While you're in your head doing this thing, this other person is also in their head doing the thing of, well, I'm not going to move. Fuck him.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to show him.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck him, big black guy. You stand there because I'm going to get my moment because you people scare me, so I'm going to exert my power over you.
And that kind
of bullshit.
And that's true. And she was a person of color, too. So I was just kind of like...
That don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. You're a big black male. That's a patriarchy.
Yeah. It was just like, I did not like myself in that moment, and I did not like her either.
Yeah, but I don't think you should not like yourself. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think you should not like yourself if you slap the shit out of her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you said something to her before she said something to you, I think maybe then you shouldn't like yourself. But I think if you just get mad, I think you should embrace that and lean into it a little bit.
Well, there's no way I should have, like, I would slap the shit out of her and I just bought Coco on Blu-ray. You know what I mean? Like, well, what did you do? What did you do that day? Oh, I went to the movies. I bought Coco on Blu-ray, and then I
smacked the dog. Smacked hot fire out of this girl who was in my way. Fucking store.
Oh my god!
I smacked hot fire out of her ass.
Yeah, man. I think it's just a thing where I'm in my head and all this shit. Like, where it's just like, you know. But I definitely annoys me. That gives me anger. And when I'm driving, there's anger. You know, like there's a lot of, like I try to be considerate when I'm driving. And when other people aren't, it's just like, it pisses me off. Because it's like, oh, I'm in New York, so I'm going to drive this way. Yeah, I fucking hate that. It pisses me off. Well, let's get out of here in a bit. I want to get what you think about, what do you think about, the Oscars? Do you have any?
Nothing. I'm not that deep into the Oscars game as, you are, although I love movies.
Yeah.
But I think I love them peripherally.
Sure.
I don't particularly love it. And by the way, I don't shit on people who do like the Oscars. That bothers me now. People who do that, just shit on people for no reason. You like the Oscars, that's your thing. That's not my thing. But that's fine. I did see the thing where the voters aren't watching Get Out.
Yeah.
I put that tweet up. I was like, listen, Oscar voters, you got one job, okay? And yes, you have to watch the nigger movie too. Yes. You have to do that. That's your fucking job.
Yeah.
How are these people not being ejected from whatever thing they're a part of? If you say out loud that you're not doing your job, you're fucking done.
Yeah.
You don't get to have the job anymore.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Why are we fucking around with this? You have to watch the job. Not only do you have to watch the job, you need to go in with all your fucking personal little bullshit racist biases put to the side, white person. You have to do that. And if you're not capable of doing that, then you can't have this job.
Yeah.
That's it. End of story. You can't do that. You can't have this job.
This outright defiance.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that. Everybody likes this, and you're not going to tell me. So I'm going to invent a reason. I've seen this before in other things. That happened. Manny Pacquiao fought Tim Bradley twice. The first time he fought Tim Bradley, everybody was at that time touting Manny Pacquiao as the greatest fighter in the world at the time, which he was. He was the number one ranked fighter in the world. Okay, and everybody kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And when he went in and fought Tim Bradley, the judges of that fight went in there and said, oh, you're going to tell me that he's the best? Well, fuck you. He has to prove to me that he's the best. So you brought your own little personal bullshit biases into this, and you didn't grade this man fairly. You didn't judge the fight fairly. So when he got there, he was already behind the eight ball. Like a nigga, he was already behind the eight ball and had to fight his way forward. And then he ended up losing. In the meantime, he fights this kid, Tim Bradley. He broke both of Tim Bradley's ankles and beat the shit out of him, and yet he lost the fight. You know, because the judges had that shit in their head of, well, I'm not going to let anybody tell me that he's the greatest. I'll show you. That's that same bullshit. Everybody says that Get Out is a great movie, so these judges come in and say, well, I don't like being lectured about being white, so it's not that good. And then they don't watch the movie. Fuck you! You don't get to be a judge.
It pisses me off, man, because it's the same shit that every like I just got done talking about black quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, who's the quarterback for Louisville.
That's that same bullshit.
Yeah.
You're not judging him fairly.
Right. It's like,
you know,
like Michael Felder can speak on it more eloquently than me. Like the last time he was on, he had around that time he had a thread about why he's like why he's a good quarterback. But it's like, oh, he can play wide receiver. It's like, fuck you. Like you're trying to trying to take away his money. Like they always
We talked about our podcast on our Thursday edition.
Okay.
This week. It's the same shit. It's stupid.
I don't know why it's just always been this way, and it's just like when it comes even comes to our realm, like black art, like how I feel like constantly we're asked to find humanity in people that hate us. And we do it. We do it every weekend. We do it every weekend.
Dude, did you see what Michael Steele, what that dude from the CPAC convention told Michael Steele?
What? No.
Did you hear about that?
No. What happened?
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, they said that Michael Steele was only the head of CPAC, was only head of the Republican Party, basically, not the Republican Party, the Republican group, because he was black, that they made him head of the Republican group because he was black.
I think you guys talked about that, and you were like, well, he didn't say that to my face.
Yeah, so Michael Steele said, was like, well, come say the shit to my face. Yeah. Some real nigga Maryland shit, Merle and shit. But the dude, this is a white dude, Michael Schlaff, whatever the fuck this guy's name is.
Uh-huh.
He told Michael Steele, he was like, well, you need to have more grace. He was like, why the fuck do I need to be graceful? He didn't say fuck, but he was thinking fuck. Why the fuck do I need to be graceful?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't do anything wrong. That's that bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, and it's like the we gotta find that humanity. It's so hard for them to do it with us, and it's just frustrating because I went through that and when I was doing theater in Chicago, where I would be doing all these plays and I would go see my other friends' plays, but it was harder for them to come see mine. Not all of them, but some of my white friends came to my shit, but I just noticed how, like, or on a larger scale where it just wasn't appreciated unless it was in February and it was at a certain theater in the city where, like, it was the high-profile play where, like, you can look at black people. As much as I love August Wilson, you can look at black people in this, like, in the past and have some type of empathy for them but not give a fuck about them, like, in the present day. You know,
right?
And it's just like so hard for them to find humanity or to give it praise unless it's has that universal appeal. It always has to be going on some like big scale type thing. Like Get Out was a surprise. That movie was only supposed to be like in the theater for a few weeks. You know what I mean? Like it was just a bloom. It's a Blumhouse movie. We're gonna make some money.
Right.
It's low budget. We're gonna get some money on it. But they didn't expect it to blow like it did. And now, like, that company can say every time they put something out. I saw a trailer for a movie with one of my shorties from Pretty Little Liars. They were like, from the producers of Get Out, you know. And now that means something now, you know.
Right, right.
So, hey.
Right, and they should.
Yeah.
You know, but Jordan should get his props.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
Yeah, so I think he's going to come away. I think the movie will come away with something.
I don't think so.
You don't think but, so?
Nah. Not, well, I mean, what's he going to win? Is he going to win Best Picture? No.
Screenplay.
Is he going to win Best Screenplay? What's he up against?
He's going to split something with Greta Gerwig because I feel like Lady Bird's going to come away with something.
That's what's going to win because they got to give us a white woman because of Me Too.
Yeah.
Fronting on that. Mm-hmm. I didn't particularly care for the movie, but the movie might be the movie's. You said the movie's great, then it's great.
Yeah, it's.
But if all things being equal, they're going to give it to her.
Yeah.
You know, that's like with Best Director. It's just something. If Guillermo del Toro doesn't win, that shit is fucking fixed.
Well, he should, like, that's where everything is pointing. Like, everything is pointing to that.
Just because he's fucking due. Did he win the Golden Globes?
I think so. Yeah, he won
the Best Director.
Shape of Water, won a lot of shit.
He's fucking due. Guillermo del Toro, he's due.
Cause,
so if he doesn't win, I will be stunned if he doesn't win. And I'm not even mad, because he's a great director.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if they won, because that's like a Hollywood movie. It's a fairy tale. It was well done, even though, like...
Although on Facebook today, they pointed out it's just Splash. The story is exactly the same.
I think JL and I reviewed it, and I was just saying like how like the worst, like it was just kind of sad to me, because like you're gonna be with this fucking fish. She's a good looking woman. She's an attractive woman.
Yeah.
And she just has...
There is a nigga in Baltimore who will give you some dick, girl. You don't got to sit up in that bathtub doing that shit to you.
Yeah,
you don't
got to
sit up in the bathtub, man.
Like, you ain't got to do that, girl. Shit. Like, come on. The worst person in the movie was attracted to her.
You mean to tell me that your black girlfriend ain't got no friends she can hook you up with?
Lamont.
You know my husband has a cousin. She ain't got no money. She ain't got no money to hook you up with.
I learned how to do sign language for her, and let me be that character.
Yeah.
I learned. Little magical
girl, I can't talk. Girl, Dante don't care about you can't talk. Dante like quiet women.
I have these scratches on me. I don't care, girl. Shit.
Don't give a fuck about
I got high blood pressure. Let's do this.
Give a fuck about that. Listen, you quiet, I'm loud, we're going to work out good together.
Yeah, that's where the holes were for me in that movie. But
I mean, it was beautifully shot, though.
Oh, yeah.
Covering of it.
It's a great, it's very
beautifully
good.
Directed, you know. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that walked away. It's like, I was watching Darkest Hour. I still have to finish it. It's a fucking slog. But
hang on a second. Hold on.
Pause. Randolph had to take care of some Black Dad stuff.
Black Daddies.
Well, you know, I was watching Darkest Hour, and it's kind of a slog, and because it's just really just kind of fucking boring. And but he's Oldman is great. He's really good in it, and it's just like, wow, he. Even though the thing,
yeah, they'll probably give him the Best Actor thing.
Yeah, he'll get it. He'll get it. But like,
just because he got fat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did he actually gain that weight?
I don't know. It seemed like seems like the kind of dude. Also, he's got a little bit of Me Too floating over him.
Well, that's what I know. Like, they said he beat his wife, but when I saw him on screen, I was like, even though he beat his wife, he's killing this shit.
Well, I don't care.
5 minutes in, he's killing this shit.
Well,
like,
sometimes you got to beat a woman. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. He's good. Like I heard a Chris Brown song at a wedding, and I was like, I had to Shazam
Jesus,
it.
Jesus, what?
I was like,
oh
who
my
is this?
God.
I was like, who is this?
Oh my God.
I was like, who is it? I was like, oh, that's Chris Brown. I was like, that's pretty good. That's a good song.
At a wedding? Oh, Christ.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it's a good song. You know, but yeah, man. Like the thing that pissed me off, they're like, oh, Casey Affleck isn't gonna do the Best Actress Award. They're gonna get two other women to do it. Well, they gave that motherfucker an Oscar last year.
They gave him the Oscar.
It didn't matter when Denzel did the role of his fucking life, and he gave it to Casey. So it's like, nah, you can't turn that shit around just cause.
Yeah.
You,
They gave him the Oscar. And also, it's them same old white men. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. By the way, I'm not watching the nigga movie.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to watch it. So, are there anything...
With the Negroes in it.
Are there any things that you're watching that you like? You know, you like the Fonte album. What are you watching anything on Netflix or any show? Heroes, Atlanta.
I'm watching Black Lightning, Atlanta.
Okay, let me ask you this. I do like Black Lightning.
It's so black, dude.
But the costume.
Dude, I just had this conversation with somebody else. Dude, it's a TV show.
I know.
Don't ever forget that. It's a comic book TV show.
But he looks like he's a walking campy, tasty freeze.
It's going to be campy sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be over the top. It's a fucking cartoon TV show.
Yeah.
That's what they are. They're just campy shit, man.
Everything
not shit. They're just campy fun shows. It's a fun show. It's a black show. It's just campy. I don't see anything like the costume's whack. Okay, I'll go along with it.
Okay, so you do agree.
Dude,
with
you. Okay. But here's the thing. Here's the thing you got to remember. Dude, he shoots lightning out of his hand. Okay? So just stop. Okay?
No, I like the show. I'm not. I think the show is good.
It shouldn't be the shit that's driving you away.
No, it's not driving me away. It's a good show. Like the last episode when they're fighting. I'm like, that's your fucking daughter, dude. You can't see that.
He didn't know. Jesus, yeah, that's what I'm saying. God. Ah, that shit kills me. He's got the big sunglasses on. I'm like, he ain't even trying to cover that beard.
No, he's like,
motherfucker, they know you. Y'all don't know who he is.
Yeah, it's
But it's a cartoon show. Just like no one ever knew that Clark Kent was Superman. I put these glasses on, and I don't look like I look. Come on, man. Come on, man. It's just a campy show. It's great, though.
I like it. No, I like it a lot.
It's great.
Jill Scott is so
bad and fine. Oh, yeah. She's fine. And the mama is so fine, and the daughter is so fine, and the young daughter is so sweet. And he's such a good dad, and he wants to be a good husband, and he was a good husband. His wife just couldn't deal with the shit, and he's trying to do good for the community, and they are just black. I love this shit, man.
It's just nobody's just like, Principal Pierce? Is that you?
Yeah.
Is that
why are y'all, Principal Pierce, why does your voice sound like that?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not Principal Pierce.
It's good, though, because I binged.
The music is great. The fucking bad guy is great.
Their shape-ups are great.
It's a shape-ups are fantastic. His beard is fucking so tight. I'm like, God, I got to go to the barber.
Yeah, he's.
And I'm wearing this beard now. I'm like, I got to go and get my shit done like that. Jesus.
He's killing it. No, I like the show, because when they killed, somebody who I thought was a main character in the second episode, I was like, holy shit, they're not fucking around.
Yeah.
This is they're killing people like it's a BBC series. Fuck, this guy's gone.
He
was kind of toiling away on that show, Heart of Dixie. Like, he did it for
Well, he can go back to it now because he's fucking dead.
No. Cress Williams. Cress Williams was like.
Oh, Cress Williams.
He was like the mayor of the town or some shit. I used to fuck with it a little bit.
You fucked with him when he was on 90210 when he was that one girl's black jump off. Remember that shit?
No, I didn't know that. This was like back in the day, 90210.
Yeah, he was on 90210. This was before he was Scooter.
Okay.
He was on 90210 and he was one of the girls' black jump offs.
Deshaun Hardell.
I don't remember which girl.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia. Yeah.
Oh, was that the name of his character? Deshaun Hardell.
Yeah, Deshaun.
Yeah, he was that girl. He was that girl's black jump off.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah,
one of the white girls. One of the white girls on that.
He's a dude that's been consistently working. He's that's cool when you get to see. It gives me hope. Like these young. He's 47.
Well, you know what's giving me life right now is Rick Younger.
Well, Rick Younger is, I gotta get a way to see him and meet girls.
Yeah, every time we post him, I'm like, do it, boy, do it.
Yeah, he's killing it. Hashtag Black Lightning.
Also, the music in Black Lightning is fantastic. Black Lightning is back.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just black, dude.
I do like it. I started watching a few, like, years ago. I watched a couple of episodes of Arrow, and it was fine. But, like, this just drew me in because it's black.
Yeah.
What did you think about Atlanta? Did you watch the premiere?
Well, you know, what's funny about black is when I watched the first season of Atlanta, that was when I was like, this is blackest shit I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah.
The first season of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the blackest shit I've ever seen on TV. When they were sitting in traffic, I mean, think about the first season. Remember when they were sitting in traffic and Encore was playing and they were singing?
Yeah.
That was like, that's the blackest moment I've ever seen on television.
Mm-hmm.
Two brothers just sitting in traffic singing Encore. You only recognize that moment if you're black. That's the only way you'll recognize that moment. If you're not black, that moment doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah.
Just two brothers sitting in traffic singing Encore. What? And it's from the early from the club. We all know what that is.
Yeah.
That early trend, that early on the radio, what's on the radio, and it's that club simulcast.
Yeah.
And they sitting there singing, "Your love deserves an encore."
Yep.
Yo, good love. When they were doing that show, I was like, oh my God, this is the blackest shit I've ever seen. Now, I don't want to say there's a lot of black shit, but there's definitely more like black shit.
How about Cat Williams, man?
He's fucking great, man.
Yeah.
He was fucking as an actor, he's fucking great. I don't know if he's ever acted before or if he had ever gone the route that you've gone and done and studied and trained, or if he's just naturally doing this shit. You would probably know more about that process than I would.
He's been in stuff, but most comedians, like a comedian.
But he's great.
Yeah, he's got to at least get an Emmy nod. He's got to get a nod, at least.
And and shout out to Glover and them for bringing him in.
Mm-hmm.
For being like, that's the dude we're going to get.
Yeah, he was fucking just like grounded. It didn't surprise me, but I was glad to see it. Like, it was just like,
yeah. Oh, it surprised me. I was like, Cat Williams.
Yeah, most comedians that are some. You, when a comedian, like, you have an act, like a comic has an act, you know? So it's like, they're more prone to be able to do it. Not all of us, but you know, some of us can. You know, and I was like, you know, I grew up being obsessed with stand-up. I just didn't do it until 29. But most people...
That's funny, because I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? You weren't obsessed?
No, I listened to it a lot.
Well, it's kind of probably the same as me. Yeah,
I never thought about doing it.
Because I remember like in 06 or 0, like around like the mid-2000s, where it was... Like, I had always listened to like people like... The like black comedians and shit like that, but like I remember like, oh, Dimitri Martin's funny. Like I remember like finding this out, like David Cross. I know he's got Me Too stuff on him, but when I first, you know,
yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know he's got it,
but
I'm like, oh,
he said so bad.
You can't say that shit out. You can't say that shit out loud anymore.
I ain't gonna say. But the views of Chris Lambert do not reflect the views of... But I just remember, like mid to late 20s, like, oh, this guy is really funny. And, like, I would play for my friends. Don't you guys... This is fucking funny, right? You know, just kind of being obsessed with it and still not fucking doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I was never like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, if he doesn't get nominated, man... There's going to be a problem, but that's not until the fall.
Cat best guest spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was so... Man, he let the alligator out.
I don't know. Like, because it's like some family shit that they didn't talk about, and it's like, oh, shit, like this is some deep...
Yeah, I'm like, oh, shit, it's your mom's sister? Yeah. Oh, wow, your mom's brother? Oh, shit.
I think it's his dad's brother, or so, I don't know.
Something.
Yeah, it's real. That show's really rich. I like it. It's really good. So I don't know how many episodes they're doing. I think they did 10 last season. I don't know. So, well, Randall.
I don't know, but she was fantastic. Your love deserves.
You gotta go higher. You gotta go higher, dude. Your love.
No, that's just, I'm trying to sing like they were singing. Good. Your love. Good love deserves.
That's the first episode, right?
And encore. I think you know what episode it was? It was the one with the Migos.
The Migos?
Yeah, the one with the Migos are in it. The episode with the Migos are drug dealers. And they go out to the Migos spot out in the country.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was it's a good series.
Migos, those horrible rappers, according to people that we know.
Well, I think, you know what? They're not making music for us. Like, the people saying...
I know. I don't give a shit. They're fine.
I'm almost 40. You're in your 40s. And it's like...
Almost 50.
Almost 50. Like, they're not...
Not for me.
I don't get mad at that. Like, and I see... It's funny to me because I see cool people that people that were cool in high school... And they're talking about this music nowadays. It's kind of funny seeing that I guess you call that growth, or I don't know what you call it, but it's just funny to see them being like old people where it's like,
yeah,
it's like they're not making music for you. Like there's plenty of music that you feel
left behind.
Yeah. It's just like, it's fine. It's fine. Like it's fucking mumble rap. They're not doing it. Like they don't need your money.
Yeah,
they don't. Don't
give them your money.
Yeah, there's other people that want to see them and listen to them. I admire people that can my age or in my age range that fuck with it. But I just don't like because I never want to be as a comedian or just as a person in general. I never want to be that guy that's like he's fucking. People that are these young kids and what they're doing with their music. I don't want to be that guy. Tell me if I'm being that guy, but.
Oh, I'll let you know.
Yeah. I don't want to have any real estate in that area. I don't really care. Cause there's plenty of music. There's plenty of great music out there. There's so much. We're only in March. And already we've got, you know, we got the Fonte record, we got Evidence, we got Black Milk, which I texted you and told you to listen to. I listened to that on the way to brunch, like a soccer mom. And that was really good. Little Dragon has new singles coming out. They're touring. It's so much good music that it's just like, why would you even care? Like they're popular.
I'm trying to tell you, dude. Yeah, I'm trying to tell you that this art, man. We started with Chris Rock. You know, there's so much shit, so much good shit happening right now, art-wise, in the black world. Black Panther.
Yeah.
Black Lightning. Chris Rock.
You me.
Know, the Roots. You. Chris. Me. You know. It's good shit happening. Yeah. You know. Fonte.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Fonte. He did some good shit.
There's good shit happening, you know, art wise.
Yeah. Well, dude, man, this has been great as always. We always
good way to kill a Sunday, man.
Yeah, we're always just shooting shit. So where can people find you?
In April 5th and 6th. Check on my social media. I got some stuff coming up in April.
You got shows and stuff.
Yeah, I do have some shows in April. I don't have it off the top of my head, and I don't want to put my calendar on my phone because I don't want to fuck off and lose the conversation with you. Sure. But I know one of them I'm opening for Leanne Lord at the Amp in Strathmore in Bethesda.
Okay.
And another one I'm closing a show at the DC Improv. At this point, without any dates, I'm just kind of humble bragging to you people. But like I said,
well, they want to know. It's not bragging. You're telling people so they can come see you.
Yeah, check my social media, and you will see it as to when I'm doing it. Okay,
cool. And your podcast,
yeah. Three Guys On. You guys, be sure to check out. Be sure to also listen to our Patreon page, The Wolf Files.
Mm-hmm.
We're interview some more interview people. I'm trying to set up a couple of more interviews right now. You guys just keep checking back and you'll know them when you hear them.
sports podcasts if you want. Hope you guys enjoy them. We enjoy doing them for you guys. Anybody who's paying money on our Patreon, we appreciate you.
That's great, man. Thanks so much. Hold, stay on the line, bro. That was great.
Yeah, brother. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for having me, man.
Was great. Like, cause you made my day a lot better when I was like, hey, you just want to do a podcast and just so
yeah,
I don't have
man.
To talk.
Why not? Yeah, man. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
All right. Take it easy, everybody. I'll talk to you next time.